Hello, you're listening to Blast Processing, the official gaming, gadget, gear, technology, horrors podcast from the future on DVDverdict.com. With me tonight, I've got two, I won't say prodigals, because they've been around a little bit lately, but you know, we haven't heard a whole lot from them. We've got, from the Great White North, Mr. Adam Arsenault.
How's it going?
And from the good old US of A, we've got Mr. Dave Johnson.
Greetings, Adam. Where exactly in the Great White North are you located?
The place where I get no postal service.
Oh, great. Funny to choose.
None of it.
That doesn't really narrow it down. I'm about an hour outside of Toronto. I'm actually closer to Buffalo than anything else.
Really interesting. All right, good.
I am on a rock in the North Atlantic, but
we all know that. You're like on the asteroid from Armageddon. So
You're in the place of minus 30-minute time zones.
Exactly.
We're
so cool, we have our own time zone. We get everything before everybody else.
You do, that's true.
Well, I guess we can't be an independent nation, so let's just change our time zone. That'll learn Ottawa.
In your face.
In your face, Stephen Baker.
I got to see Phantom Menace a half hour before everybody else.
Well, there you go. I mean, you might as well take advantage of that.
this is a very special episode. This is our 100th episode of Blast Processing. We have now officially entered the Century Club.
Woohoo!
Which is kind of like the Mile High Club, only not as cool.
That's right. Certainly less erotic. Or maybe more erotic. I don't know. It depends. Are you wearing pants, Adam?
Ooh, it's like we're having sex in an airplane, except it's happening with other people.
Except there are seven people in the washroom.
And there's a microphone and it's recording. Oh no.
Oh no.
Was that a Wes Craven movie from the 80s? Seven people in the washroom? I think so.
Seven people under the stairs. I don't know. It could be either or. This was also a very big week for video games, of course. Last week was our annual smorgasbord of new video games and really awkward press conferences. Of course, I'm talking about the Electronic Entertainment Expo, or E3, as all of the cool cats like to call it. I figure let's just kick this off with some collected thoughts from... we'll start with Adam. You first, Adam. What did you think of E3 this year?
Well, I didn't go. That would have been nice.
Nobody ever goes.
You were one of the booth babes? I thought I saw you there.
That's right.
You were the redhead, right?
I don't come with the game. Stop asking.
He was in the Final Fantasy cosplay there.
Man, I don't know about that. If ever there was a franchise hemorrhaging blood in every direction, that's probably it. We could talk about that, but
there's the hit game. Never mind, I'm not even going to say it. Continue. Yeah.
most of what I found very interesting was the stuff coming out of Nintendo. And I'm not even sure good interesting or bad interesting or just like morbid fear interesting. I can't quite decide yet, but they definitely had a lot to show.
It was kind of an aha. Mm-hmm. I like what you've done here. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm still kind of wrapping my head around it a little bit. But that was the center of my attention.
How about you, Dave?
Well, let's see. Here's my armchair analysis. There was nothing surprising. Someone has their headphones off?
There's an echo.
I think is John Mercer back on?
John Mercer is back.
His mic doesn't work.
Plaguing us with his audio woes.
Thanks a lot. All right, I guess I'll continue. I didn't want to. I mean, what I have to say is of very little value. It's not worth hearing twice, so I'll wait until my echo is gone.
Oh, audio woes.
Oh, okay. Continuing on. So we had talked about this briefly too. Like, I mean, I didn't find anything. There's no like big surprises. I didn't think. You know, nothing really shocked me or surprised me. Even the Halo 4 reveal, that was spoiled early on for some Microsoft intern published stuff and spoiled everything. But the stuff that I've been looking forward to this year didn't really change anyway. And I knew Gears of War 3 was going to be something I was going to buy immediately. Uncharted 3, that was going to be mine immediately. and that didn't really change. You know, Skyrim, we talked about how that's going to be soul-sucking. You know, I'll be all over that. So, I don't know. Nothing. It's interesting when you look at the different philosophies that companies have taken. You know, it seems like, I mean, Nintendo, it's going to be interesting with this gamble with Nintendo. Is it going to pay off or not? I mean, it certainly sounds the death knell of the Wii, doesn't it? Isn't that where that risk, like with the Wii U, doesn't the original Wii, like...
Yeah, it seems like the Wii support has pretty much, you know...
fallen off a cliff. I mean, the hardware sales are down on that. So this is an interesting gamble with the Wii U, especially when you would think that Microsoft and Sony's next-gen offerings are a couple years out, and they're going to most definitely be overpowered, you know, have more horsepower than the Wii. So that'll be interesting to see what happens. Sony seems to really be focusing on kind of just this networking cross-brand strategy, you know, with the Vita, which, again, I'm interested in seeing, especially as it compares to the rise of mobile gaming and tablets and all that stuff. You know, where is the handheld gaming market going to be, especially with the 3DS slow out of the gate? So, but they obviously want to tie it into the PS3 and have it all kind of in this, you know, interconnectivity with their hardware and all that stuff. You know, the Sony brand as a whole. And obviously Microsoft is looking to be a living room presence, you know. And again, I've got no interest in any Kinect games. I'm semi-interested in functionality that supports the Xbox, like for movies and stuff. But, you know, it's obvious, like, Microsoft is looking to be that centerpiece in the living room. And they all seem to be willing to let the third parties do the heavy lifting as far as game development goes with each of them, you know, with Sony and Microsoft trying to get exclusive DLC and exclusive content. So that was my read. So nothing surprising, nothing really exciting. I have no idea what the Nintendo thing is going to do, and that controller does not look like a lot of fun for my monkey hands to hold.
It's the unholy evolution of the Dreamcast controller.
It is the bastard offspring of the Dreamcast VMU and the Atari Jaguar controller.
It's like they looked at the Dreamcast controller, they're like, you know what would make this better? Let's make it bigger in every direction and make the screen bigger in the middle.
Yes. So I don't know. So no huge surprises really. So only two Gears of War, Uncharted 3, and then a lot of the third party stuff that I knew I was interested in anyway. You know. So, and obviously I don't need to talk about Ninja Gaiden 3 because we won't talk about that.
So after everybody buys the Kinect Star Wars game, what are we gonna buy next?
Right.
Okay.
Zero interest. But again, though, I mean, the thing is, like, that crap will sell. You know, that stuff is gonna sell. The PS Vita is gonna sell. You know, I mean, I don't know. Is the Wii U gonna sell? We'll see. I'm unsure. But
I think the decline in the Wii sales and that kind of family friendly casual gaming market has been kicked in the teeth a bit by the Kinect, because there's a lot of crap coming out for that. And I certainly know a lot of families with young kids who are just, the Wii is like sitting alone in a dusty corner, but the Kinect is out front and center, and they have all kinds of horrible dancing games and things like that.
Look, I've got zero interest in it at all, you know, zero interest, but I mean, it's pretty crazy what, like, I mean, that thing is selling a ton. And
it's neat technology.
Who's buying it?
I think the same people who were buying, you know, the Wii for the family stuff. I mean, it keeps kids very entertained. They gyrate in front of their television and shout commands at it, and it seems to have a lot of fun.
My kids got bored with it by old Christmas Day. They were done. You know, by January 6th, the Kinect was already gathering dust.
Mm.
I don't know. My anecdotal evidence too, like, you know what Adam says, it's like, you know, kids are liking it. So whatever. That, you know, I'm not happy, you know, it doesn't help me any. You know, but again, I don't know, there's nothing in the conference. Like, I mean, I'm not a handheld gamer, so, you know,
well, they haven't
Vita doesn't grab me, and then the Wii, I'm not gonna spend the money for the Nintendo, I don't think. Just because, you know, a new Sony, a new Microsoft console is around the corner. That's gonna be roided up, so I don't know. A lot of interest there.
My big thing with it, I found, you know, like, the status quo didn't really change much from last year. Nintendo, I don't know what to make of this Wii U. Part of it, and what really kind of bugs me, is it's definitely, you know, a reactionary console. It's definitely, hey, look, now you can play the Wii in high def,
yeah.
which is okay, fine. We've been playing in high def since 2005, man.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I don't understand.
And every game that they showed for it was running on PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360, other than this Zelda HD demo that they slapped together, which is not even going to be an actual game. So I'm kind of, you know, there's really nothing there.
I mean, I guess it's the controller, right? I mean,
are they kind
of looking at, again, like, there's a little similarities there with Sony, because the Vita is going to talk to the PS3, right? Isn't that design they're going to play nice?
It is, but apparently what they're doing with that is it's kind of more, you buy a game, say, on the PlayStation Network, and it works on both machines and uses cloud saving so that, you know, you start playing a game on your PlayStation 3, you save it, you grab your Vita, you go outside, you go wherever it is you're going, you sit down, you load up your game, you continue playing, you know, on your Vita, which is kind of cool. Like that is a pretty cool idea.
It's very cool, but Dave, you made the point. I mean, most people, mobile gaming is kind of, you know, the 3DS has kind of been a nothing, really.
The scene has changed, you know, the iPad, the iPhone, the
iPhone. Yeah, and it's, you know, you got dual core, you know, Tegra processing mobile phones coming out that are going to kick the crap out of, you know, just about everything.
Yeah,
the technology is developing so fast.
So for the, you know, so the Vita has a $250 to $300 model, right?
Yeah,
but that money these days are buying, you know, you're with iPad, you know, like iPad or tablets, that technology rocketing forward so fast. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where the market is for the handheld gaming with, you know, with tablets.
The pricing is a little different for sure, because, I mean, you're looking at, okay, I picked up a Droid phone over Christmas, a Samsung Galaxy, and, I mean, to get that phone off contract, it's a $600 or $700 phone.
Right.
Online, you know?
Right.
So I guess there's that side of it, that, you know, all these non-cell phone people, which I know these days is nobody, but, you know, like, a lot of the non-cell phone people, a lot of the people whose parents, like the kids especially, whose parents aren't going to buckle and buy them a cell phone and get into a monthly cell phone payment, you know, these are the guys who the 3DS and the PS Vita are really kind of going to take, I think. And, you know, yeah, it is definitely a shrinking market, but I think the Vita in particular has got the horsepower to kind of drive it forward.
It definitely has the horsepower. I'm wondering if their messaging is going to be a little confused. Like, surprise, Sony's messaging is confusing.
Yeah, but, really.
I mean, like,
that one time.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly app-heavy. It certainly looks like something with apps and all that, you know?
Yeah.
It obviously plays PS3 quality games, which is great. But again, how do you, you know, market this thing? And, you know, is it going to...
The easy way would be, hey, look, here's a PS3 in the palm of your hand. That'd be the easy way.
That's right. I mean, that makes sense, because you're not going to compete with, like, full-on Droid phones and Galaxy tablets and stuff, you know?
No.
But it kind of looks like Sony's angling for that market share a little bit, even though it's in bed with AT&T for its 3G network, which makes no sense.
Doesn't AT&T own everybody now, though?
I mean... Yeah, you would think.
Wasn't AT&T and the FCC merging or something? Didn't I read that?
I think they bought T-Mobile and Sprint, and they just kind of gobble everything up except for Verizon.
Completed the purchase for Heaven as well.
So. But you know, having a PS3 in your pocket, I mean, that's great. That would have been great in 2005. But you know what, like. My PS3.
The handheld market. Where is it?
But that's the thing. Like in my living room, my PS3 plays music, watches movies, browses the internet, streams Netflix, you know, updates Twitter, does this, does that, and it plays games. But so does my Android phone. It does. It does all of those things. So it's like the novelty of having a PS3 in your pocket. If the only thing it's bringing to the table is playing games, I get all the other stuff in another device. How many devices am I carrying around on a daily basis now?
This is true.
I don't know. It's if the gaming is great, that's awesome. But you know, you see these cell phones that Sony's are coming out with. They have like the PlayStation controller like embedded right into the flip phone.
That's called a last gasp at making some money on the PSP Go design. That's what that's called.
and I've seen that phone. It's a piece of crap. But it's called
the Sony last gasp.
it's the Sony expired.
Sony E3. No, it's just, but it's an indication that there's there's a weird market there for this, you know, that playing that kind of, some of these games that they're coming out with on like iPhone and stuff, that like the, you know, Infinity Blade or whatever it's called. Nice looking games.
Infinity Blade looked nice, and the problem I had with Infinity Blade was that the mechanics were just so limited. You know, like it's still not the same experience as playing a game on a console. And
but you have to say, Steve, it's trending towards more robust gaming experiences.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, Dead Space was fantastic. I gotta say, Dead Space is the single best game I have played on an iPhone, iPod Touch. Uh-huh. If you own one or you own an iPad, Dead Space is well worth the cash on the App Store. Dead Space is phenomenal. It's the first time I saw the touchscreen used really effectively to give you almost a console-like experience, you know? And that's what I always liked about my PSP, was I could pick it up and play stuff like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood or Monster Hunter. You know, like it wasn't a complete detachment from my console. It wasn't a completely different experience, which I guess is what I'm comfortable with. And it's why I don't see myself gravitating as much towards, like, you know, the apps and the Androids and all that stuff. It's why I'm kind of looking forward to the PSV, because it's, you know, a more console-like experience.
Right. And I could see that. I mean, I think that's where the appeal is, why, and they should market it as such.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. You know, here's a PS3, here it is in your pocket.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't mean just for Facebook, you know?
Yeah, like,
Uncharted.
By focusing on all the other stuff. Oh, it's got apps. Oh, it does this. Oh, it's connected to this. It's just the Sony Milo again. And nobody wanted that the first time around.
No, they didn't.
They did not.
I'll tell you what else is interesting as far as, like, the game, you know, games in general. I mean, were there any, like, new first party? I mean, there's that Dust game that Sony announced, which, surprise, another space sci-fi shooter, right?
Dust is actually extremely cool. I've got it's a really good friend of mine. It's a guy I've known since I was in, like, the fourth or fifth grade. Actually moved over to Iceland recently, last year, and he's working for CCP. He does programming for CCP. And he kind of told me about the whole, like, our CEO is going to be at Sony's press conference on Tuesday and everybody's going ballistic about it kind of thing. I knew about it last week. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, like, that what they're doing with Dust and how they're integrating it into EVE Online is different. It is really, really cool.
So, why would he move from Newfoundland to Iceland? Can't he just, well, like, commute 30 minutes?
Is that an upgrade or a downgrade? Right? Can't you just take a canoe to the office?
Yeah, actually, like right across the pond.
He actually went to Vancouver first.
Oh.
And then got the job. Well, he was a big EVE addict. He was a huge EVE Online player. And when he saw that they were hiring, he had a really extensive programming background. So he applied for it, got it, and the rest is history kind of thing, right? But it's been great because, you know, we hook up on Messenger all the time. We'll chat on Messenger a lot, and I keep asking him to sell me his car, and he keeps laughing at me, but then he tells me about what kind of cool shit they're working on, which is pretty cool.
I'm just wondering if there's, like, some reluctance or hesitancy, you know, for these publishers to get either new IPs or, you know, invest in those kind of big games when, and you're seeing, I mean, Microsoft did this a lot, obviously, with the Call of Duty stuff, but Sony's been doing it too. You know, instead just going for that exclusive content for third-party games. You know, like, I mean, I think Microsoft may have gotten burned from Alan Wake, which is a game I liked a lot. You know,
a lot of people did, yeah.
Anybody game, but didn't sell gangbusters. You know?
Yeah,
and that's
all. When you think that the average game in development now takes as long as and costs as much as a Hollywood film.
Right, absolutely.
What did you expect were going to happen? You're going to get sequels, because nobody's prepared to roll the dice on a new franchise.
Absolutely. Especially, I agree. So that's why, I like, you know, I mean, you get a third Uncharted, which is great. We love Uncharted. But you get Uncharted, you get more Gears, you get more Halo, you get the stuff you know it's going to sell. And then it's up to the third parties to really kind of, you know, try new stuff out.
Yeah.
And I think you're right on there, Adam. It's so expensive. Like, and this is one of the reasons why, like, to me, some of the great game experiences you'll find, like, original IP gaming experience, is on, like, XBLA and PSN.
It's indie stuff. The indie people are taking the chances.
I mean, I'm there's a lot of great, like, XBLA to me has got a lot of great stuff, and all hail Garden Heroes, baby. Can't wait for that to drop. So psyched about that, but
I still hate Minecraft with a passion, man. It's eaten my life. I love that stuff. But it's a perfect example. I mean, on the and on XBLA and on Steam and on, hey, even on the app stores for Android and iPhone, these are where these little game developers can take the chance.
I still like to see, you know, like, and I really think you can You can quote me on it. You can ignore me, whatever. But I think the future now, I think Canada's had its day. You know, companies like BioWare, Ubisoft, EA Black Box, like these guys have all made some AAA product and made a name for like the Canadian video game industry. But I think the future now is with the European developers, is with guys like CCP and guys like CD Projekt Red. These guys are turning out some amazing work. And I mean, it is finding its way to console. You know, The Witcher 2 will be out for Xbox 360 before the end of the year.
Yeah, what was that? How come that wasn't in it? I mean, I know it was announced already, but that's pretty noteworthy, isn't
it?
Well,
this is the prime example of Microsoft.
Why don't you drop that? This is
Microsoft having their head so far up their ass that they can taste their breakfast as it's digesting. That's what it is.
I mean, that's a great get, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, all they had to do was bring one of these Polish guys from CD Projekt Red onto the stage. Here's a quick little gameplay demo of The Witcher. But no, what do? They friggin' show some chick sitting on a couch. Xbox video. Xbox game.
The ironic thing, and that's what drives me nuts. Like that's all you would have to do, Steve, is show some Witcher or show like a cool XBLA game that's exclusive.
Yeah, you know, like they started off with Call of Duty, which was like, okay, multi-platform. Yeah, Tomb Raider looks awesome, but still multi-platform.
You know, Gears 3, I'm all about, obviously.
Yeah, Gears 3, great, except for what the hell was Ice-T doing there? And then, you know, oh, and Cliffy B, Body Count's going to record a new song for your game, yo, for Shizzle. You know, it's like, what? What am
I? I knew I was gonna buy that. I didn't need a demo to sell it to me.
I didn't need Ice-T to tell me that Body Count was reuniting to record a song for the game. You know, I was like,
any extra units, you know? So, like, why not give just a little bit to, you know, you talk Witcher, and talk, you know, like, they hardly did, like, give me a cool XBLA game. And guess what? That appeases, for one thing, that'll appease a lot of the hardcore crowd, so they won't dwell so much on the Kinect stuff. Like, to me, it's just like, who's, I mean, we make fun of Sony's PR, but, you know, I just don't understand.
Microsoft doesn't have any.
Microsoft's PR is bad. Like, it doesn't take a lot. It takes, like, you know, 5 minutes out of your conference to throw a few bones out there. And, like, they have them in there. The Witcher 2 is a genuine get to be excited
and
about.
And this game only came out, you know, it came out in May. It came out a month ago. It's
right.
Been scoring nines and tens. It's been scoring crazy scores, like amazing reviews.
Right.
I picked it up. I upgraded my PC so I could run this thing on high. You know, I picked it up and the first weekend I spent with the game, I was absolutely astounded by it. I was like, I cannot believe how amazing this game is. I mean, our game of the year last year, our Mass Effect 2, this game, right. BioWare needs to sit down, play this game, and take freaking notes. You know, they like it is that good of a game. And Microsoft ignores it completely. These guys come out 3 days before E3 and say it's an Xbox exclusive. It'll be out before the end of 2011. It's only been out for 30 days on PC. It's already shipped 500,000 copies and has a
and you're gonna get like the complete 90. Experience.
Yeah, you know, and it's
get,
not
like all the DLC and all this.
Yeah.
So
and Microsoft,
it's frustrating. Like, and it's, you know, you're not even overshadowing, you know, your other stuff, your Kinect stuff or whatever. Just give yourself 5 minutes of your conference and talk about this. You know, cut into the Tomb Raider or cut it into a little bit in the Gears and just talk about this. So
maybe
that's,
CD
that's always frustrated me.
Yeah, maybe CD Projekt just wasn't willing to pay, you know, Microsoft the billions of dollars that a prime spot in their press conference would have cost or something. I don't.
Yeah.
You know,
that goes to the point. That's Microsoft kind of like being dumb about it. I mean, because you get great word of mouth from
and that. And again, Demon's Souls. How, PlayStation 3 owners haven't shut up about that game since the fall of 2009. Dark Souls gets announced. They got a playable demo at E3. It's coming to Xbox 360.
Steve, nobody shut up about Demon's Souls since 2009 because nobody's been able to beat Demon's Souls yet.
But I mean,
they're still trying.
The sequel is coming, and it's coming to Xbox, and they just completely ignore it. I don't understand their rationale.
Well, the rationale is, it's, I mean, to me, the rationale is like, the 360 is growing, and it's a large enough platform that these developers want to get in on it now. You know, they want to get in on it. So it's like Microsoft doesn't owe them because they want on board. But my argument is just like, you can just diffuse so much consternation from the video gamer community. It's like, oh, Kinect, blah, blah, blah. Just by throwing a couple of these mentions. Talk about Dark Souls quickly.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I've always maintained that it doesn't take a lot. It does not take a lot for a video game fanboy to poop his pants.
No, with definitely a not.
As long as it's a surprise and it's cool, they will talk about it.
I'm doing it right like, now. I mean, God.
You know, like, what if Mike, and I said this like last year, probably the year before too, like, what if Microsoft said, only on XBLA, we've got Streets of Rage 4, you know, or something like that, right?
Dave's head would have exploded. Scanner's moment.
My head would have exploded, but that would be talked about. Wouldn't that be talked about?
Yeah.
You know what, though?
Pokemon Earl 3. Something cool. Something interesting.
There already was one, and we're not talking about it.
Yeah, but we are.
Right? My whole thing, you know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, 2005, 2006, the Xbox 360 was the coolest thing on the planet. Anybody who was playing video games had an Xbox 360. That first year that system was out, the only two games worth playing were Ghost Recon and Oblivion. Right. You know, everything else was, but everybody still freaking loved that machine. You know, and then Gears of War hit, and I mean, it was a gamer's rig. You know, it was the machine. The first year the PlayStation 3 was out, it was a joke. The Xbox just so thoroughly spanked the crap out of that machine the first year it was available. And now, you know, I feel, last year when I watched E3 last year, I felt like a battered teen. I felt like, you know, Microsoft was that dad that just beats the crap out of me. This year, I feel like a newborn infant left in a dumpster behind a coffee shop.
I agree. Microsoft murders babies.
I just, you know, Don Matrick is sitting there at his desk, and he's got his little name plaque that says Don Matrick, King of the Douche Weasels.
And, yeah, but you know what? He's sitting at a desk made of money.
He is, so but, and he's sitting there saying,
because of Mike, I mean, you know, like, I hear that. I understand what you're saying. You know, because look, Lord knows the games I want. You know, Ninja Gaiden is not coming out for Kinect. I understand that. I made peace with that.
Man, that would be all right, though. Wouldn't that be fun?
But it's just like, quiet, I mean, Adam. The 360 is like just increasing its sales, and it's 6-year-old hardware.
Yeah.
You know, sales are going up. So it's like, I understand, like, it's working for them. I understand. I'm not thrilled about it because you're right. I want to get on it. You know, I'm not interested in Star Wars Kinect or on rails flailing. I don't want that.
Who else's sales are going up?
Can you imagine being in your living room trying to play Ninja Gaiden with Kinect? You'd just be you'd trash your living room.
It'd be like those early Red Steel commercials.
With like all the guys attacking you from every direction, you just smash a lamp and break your couch.
And this is the thing. Sony sales are going up as well. You know, Microsoft, fine. Microsoft are selling more. So are Sony. And Sony are catching them. They're narrowing the margin. And the thing is, you know, you want to play games. You want to get a normal gaming experience like what you used to get on your 360 in about 2006 or 2007. It's on PlayStation 3 now.
But, man, I got to tell you, though, the sales don't bear that out. You know, I got both consoles. But, I mean, Portal 2. Which had Steam included. The 360 version outsold it.
Really?
PS3.
Well, you know, it also released the same day the PSN exploded.
But the PS3 was
self-inflicted wound by Sony then, you know.
But the Steam tie-in for the PS3 worked in its favor. If you bought the game on PS3, you got a free copy on the PC, if I recall.
You did, yeah. Well, yeah.
It's a great addition. But I'm just saying, even with that.
And even beyond that, you also have to look at the type of people who.
You know, and that's because it's gotten such a huge footprint that third-party publishers need to put it on there. You know?
But that goes back and forth, too. I mean, there's other games you can cite that sell more on PS3, you know, or it goes back and forth these days. That's the problem. I mean, I think it was Mortal Kombat I was looking at actually sold more on PS3, you know?
I don't think any of the three consoles support really. Like, XBLA has never really been supported by Microsoft. Not really.
No.
I mean, it's there, and they figured out, they said, well, there's indie gamers, we can take a little bit of money from them, sure, why not? But it's like, it's like buried in like three option menus, and it's like, it's not necessarily prominent. They don't talk about it at the trade shows, because it's, you know, this is old business. I mean, you've got these huge studios, and everybody's spending so much money, and these games are now costing 50 million, 60 million, hundreds of millions of dollars. And, you know, they're not going to talk about the indie game, even though that's what the fans want, because it's a trade show. It's an industry. This is hands washing and strategic marketing alliances, and it's become very, very, very taken over by marketing folks.
This is true. I mean, it always was a marketing thing.
Absolutely, but I don't think on any of the console ecosystems can indie developers really thrive. I think they're figuring out ways to do it on the mobile and PCs, because they always have. But, I mean, I wish they would put that kind of stuff front and center. I've had more fun playing XBLA games than I've had playing regular games.
Fair enough.
XBLA is great. I love XBLA stuff.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay, here's one for you. Either of you guys see Ubisoft's press conference last year?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
You didn't miss anything. Did you see it this year?
You know, I was surprised. They had stuff that was pretty cool. Was it, what did they have?
They like had
Far Cry 3, right?
Far Cry 3, which looks fantastic. They had this new Brothers in Arms game, which looks like Inglourious Basterds, the video game. They actually had a real... I got to say, best turnaround I've seen. Ubisoft show this year had more that surprised me than any of the other shows.
But again, I'm just telling you, it's third party, though.
I mean, yeah.
It's
because, oh, I mean, for sure, yeah.
That stuff, it's third party. I mean, that's just what it is. And if it's not, if it's like... If it's studio first party, they become sequels. You know, it's God of War games and Uncharted games and Halo games and
speaking, you know, of stuff. Speaking of sequels, did you see the gameplay footage of Assassin's Creed Revelations?
I did. I'm not an Assassin's Creed guy.
I saw it.
It was pretty astounding.
Really? I like it.
Yeah.
I haven't even finished.
I'm still on two.
So, yeah, you're still on two. Oh,
I finished two. I kind of put it on the shelf and just said I bought Brotherhood. And you know, after two, I was so burnt out. I was kind of like, yeah, okay. But now after seeing the gameplay video for three, for Revelation, I'm just like, okay, I got to go back and play through Brotherhood right now because this looks goddamn astounding. You know, yeah. Just running across burning ships in the harbor in Constantinople. You know, like. Nice. Very, very cool.
That's probably something I should try to get into. I tried playing. I just can't get into that game for some reason.
I know how you feel about open world games.
Were you playing?
I know.
Skip Assassin's Creed. Go right to Assassin's Creed 2. That'll help a lot.
That's what everybody says, but I still love the first one.
Yeah, the open world stuff. I mean, that's what's kept me from Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, you're missing out.
You bastard. There's no other way to put that. You go play that right now.
Guy. I gotta admit, I'm sorry.
You can follow the plot. You don't have to go, you know, hunting coyotes if you don't want to.
And that's the joy of Rockstar stuff. The joy of Rockstar stuff is every time you sit down to play the game, when you look at the little radar or compass or whatever in the corner, there's always a little blip for you to go to.
It tells you exactly where to go.
Always.
Just that most people opt to ignore it and spend 39 hours in the wilderness shooting crows.
Yes.
I need corridors and tunnels with enemies.
And hunting Lobo, the great mysterious wolf. Amazing game. Amazing. Okay, so, you know, the dust is cleared. We've seen all of the new stuff. None of the surprises because, well, hey, there really weren't any. Dave, your game of the show.
Okay, how about, like, I'm going to tell you the game that...
You can have two.
From what I've seen, and, okay, this is a genre I don't care about at all. But from what I've seen, I've just been shocked by how quality it looks. Forza 4. Forza Motorsport 4. I'm not a racing game guy, but there's stuff in there. Like the Top Gear license,
woo!
And the tech looks ridiculous.
I wonder, do we get to like barrel down an Alpine road in an 18-wheeler that's on fire?
That would be great.
That would be amazing.
Like if Clarkson does the lap commentary, then I'm sold. But anyway, so that looked, you know, that looked pretty cool. But I mean, certainly Uncharted 3, Gears 3, are my two ones that I'm looking forward to the most. And I guess game of the show, man. See, that's why it was just such an unsurprising event. Like,
yeah, there was a lot of great stuff. There was a lot of really good stuff.
But it hasn't changed. Like,
no,
Uncharted, Gears, Skyrim. I know those will command much of my life in the coming months. You know,
Skyrim.
So we know Adam's choice.
No, you know what? Actually, not. We'll come to me, but Skyrim. Let's put that out there.
Okay, but your real answer is Ninja Gaiden 3, though. Who knows?
Man, I haven't even played Ninja Gaiden 1 or Ninja Gaiden 2, really. I played Ninja Gaiden when it was in the arcade. Does that count?
Nice. Wow, with the awesome game over screen that's got you tied to a log with the chainsaw or the...
Like, man, gave me nightmares when I was like, I still close my eyes and I see him shaking his head robotically, like, no, no, and it keeps coming, oh, man. But just that joystick with the awesome button right in the middle of it that flipped you, I love that game.
I remember the time limit being very, very merciless.
Tough game.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the Nintendo was even worse. They like totally took that game and changed it into a completely different game and then made it worse.
I played through all three on the Nintendo. I loved them.
Yeah.
Well, I almost forgot Mass Effect 3.
Mass Effect 3 is March 6, 2012. 2011, sorry. 2011.
We're supposed to have it 2012.
2012.
We're supposed to have it this year, though, right?
We were supposed to have it. They said November, but it wasn't a final date. And I kind of think... That they may have listened to a past podcast and they heard me bitch about getting Uncharted 3 and Skyrim in the same month, so they moved it just for my sake. Thank you, guys. Thank you, BioWare.
They take care of their Canadians.
Yeah, by the time March 6th rolls along, I might possibly be done with Skyrim.
Yikes. Do you have any sense how huge this game is yet? Have they talked about it?
16 square miles, which is, I think, about what they said for Oblivion as well.
Okay. But you're fighting dragons?
You get to fight dragons.
Nice.
And apparently, according to Todd, the world is much more compressed this time around. Like, there's a lot more verticality and stuff to it. So there's, like, yeah, it's the same general landmass as what Oblivion was, but there's a lot more to explore because you're going up and down, like, mountains, caves, towers, you know, that kind of stuff. So
I couldn't even get my horse up the hills in Oblivion.
Man, if I fired up Oblivion now, I think I'd still be, because I had two characters going. One guy who followed the rules and one who just killed everyone and is constantly on the run. So I think if I fired it up, I'd just be chased. This poor Oblivion player.
I think you could do it. I think the trick worked in Oblivion as well. If you rested for 2 days, like all of the NPCs are reset to neutral positions. So like the any.
That's nice.
Yeah. Now if you were wanted by guards, like if you're still owed a fine, they'd still pursue you. But anyone in town, like NPC wise and stuff, they wouldn't attack you.
That's nice. So yeah, there you go. But that's my.
How about you, Adam?
Dave hit it. I'm gonna go with Mass Effect 3.
Mass Effect 3?
So a funny thing happened, because I haven't been on this in a while.
No.
It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
In absentia, I did that thing, Steve, that I told you I was gonna do at one point, which is I fired up Mass Effect finally.
Awesome.
Because you sent me a copy. The first one, because he sent me a copy. I told him months and months ago that I didn't play it, and he's just like, you son of a bitch, and he mailed me a copy.
Have you played Mass Effect 2?
Well, this is the thing. So I played Mass Effect, and I played it for like an hour, and I got to like the Citadel for the first time, and I'm like, I'm bored. I stopped playing it, and I had nothing to play because I'm completely broke, and I had no money to buy new video games, so I was kind of looking around. I'm like, okay, I'll try Mass Effect again, and it just clicked this time, and I was just like, oh, and I just ate the entire game.
And that's exactly what it did to me the first time I played it. Exactly.
And then I grabbed Mass Effect 2 and I put it in and it was just, oh, and it was just like even better. And yep. I'm just completely, like, I'm right at the end of Mass Effect 2 where, like, I've officially run out of story options and now I have to start making decisions about murdering people. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, just completely, completely enthralled. And now I wish I could go back in time and like kick myself in the teeth like last year because I missed all of this when it was happening.
Yeah, I completely played through Mass Effect 2. Got some DLC on the cheap. I just like explored every planet, did every mission I could find. Like just played it straight through. What a great game.
I mean, it's like I told Eric about the original Mass Effect. It's one of those games that if it does snare you, it snares you bad.
Yep.
And if you do kind of go and just take advantage of all the exploration really early on in the game, the rest of the game is just such a cakewalk. It's not funny. You almost break it.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, I had like all of like the Spectre weapons before I was like even out of anything.
Yeah, I was rocking
everything once the phase done, you know.
Yeah, I was rocking N7 armor when I rescued Liara from the mines.
But no,
that may be the nerdiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I played through, you know, I played Mass Effect and I brought my character into Mass Effect 2 and I'm playing that. But then I went back to Mass Effect at the same time and I'm playing a completely evil character this time around. Because I always end up playing nice characters even when
Jack Bauer now.
when I try to be a jerk, it never works. I always end up being like the old joke was a friend of mine, we bought Fable when it came out and we played it. And he played it for a week and I played it for a week and we compared notes. And my guy looked like Obi-Wan Kenobi from the first Star Wars movie. like a halo surrounding him. It was just, and like, I looked at him and I'm like, you look like Tim Curry from Legend, man.
Yeah, that's me with Fable 2 and these giant horns.
That was myself and my wife with Fable 1, actually. I was the good guy. She was extremely evil.
And she's just like, he's like, check it out. I'm about to marry and then sacrifice at an altar my 40th wife. And I'm like, what? Anyway, so I'm playing a complete you know, Tosser this time around. And I'm excited because, you know, I'm looking forward to bringing that character in the second time. So I'm just completely head over for it. So now Mass Effect 3 is extremely interesting to me.
What do you think of the, like, the beefed up action component to Mass Effect 3? Like, how they're kind of, they've added, like, you know, a roll dodge and stealth kills. And, like,
well, look,
they've really
like
gone
me,
more
combat, the combat from 1 to 2 was dramatically better.
It was. Wow. It definitely was, yeah.
I had a hard...
It worked like an actual shooter. So it was, you know, it was...
I got to admit, I had a hard time with it at first. I booted up Mass Effect 2. I played through kind of the tutorial mission where I'm, you know, rescuing myself, but really I'm just learning the game.
Yep.
And I was just like, oh, I don't like this. It's like playing, you know, Gears of War or something. I don't want this. Isn't, oh, no, no. And then all of a sudden I like it. And now I go play Mass Effect and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. I feel like I'm made of cardboard. Oh, I don't want to play this. It's like, it's just... So I didn't like it at first, but once I got used to it, I really think it's great. And yes, they stripped away some of the RPG elements, and yes, they dumbed it down, but you know what? I don't care. It's a lot of fun to play.
It's just good.
Yeah. It's just very entertaining. So if they're gonna expand on that in 3, I'm with you. I drank the Kool-Aid, I'm with you.
I mean,
I hope they bring some of the RPG stuff. I really did enjoy being very fussy with my inventory and my weapons upgrades. I know some people didn't like that, but I kind of, you know, I'm an RPG guy. I like that kind of stuff.
RPG guys generally go for that kind of thing.
Right. So if they can do both, man, that'll be great.
I've heard that there was like some talk on the official forums, and Casey Hudson, I think his name is, the director of the game, came on and kind of, he dropped a few tidbits that everybody kind of latched onto and basically said, you know, like, yes, we are still going in a shooter direction, because they said basically, you know, Mass Effect 2, they put the emphasis on the shooting, which was fine. But they said with 3 that if you're going to be a shooter, you might as well be the best shooter in the game. So they've really kind of amped up the action and the shooter feel of the game even more so. But he said RPG elements will be coming back as well.
Awesome.
So, I mean, if they can really, like, I mean, I found Mass Effect 2 was almost too much of a knee-jerk in the opposite direction. Like, they kind of dumbed it down a little bit too much compared to the first one. So I'd kind of like to see the return of, like, I mean, I don't need to see deep, you know, hundreds of items on a menu like I did in the original, because the menu system...
Yeah, that turned me off, I'll tell you that.
It was a dog. I mean, the menu system in the original, it was a holdover from Knights of the Old Republic, which was released on the original Xbox in, what, 2003?
Yeah.
I don't need to walk around with clay cups in my pocket.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like, the inventory management was definitely a bit of a dog. But, I mean, with Mass Effect 2, I think they really kind of went knee-jerk too far in the opposite direction, you know? You didn't really have a whole lot of weapon options and stuff in ME2.
Right, and the sweet spot to me is, like, character progression, which is always fun, you know, like, skill tree management, that's always fun. And just, I mean, you don't want to go full-on loot, like Diablo or something, but...
No,
you know,
God, no.
Like you said,
no,
no, you do.
Modification, armor stuff, get something cool.
Let's talk about Diablo, actually. Come on, let's do that.
Right. Great, then Shepard can have the bastard gun of healing or something.
The holy avenging...
Yes.
Blade of heavenly wrath +7.
You gotta roll that. You gotta roll the random number generator, man.
Yeah. The helm of the squid.
Man, I still play Diablo 2, so everybody can just suck it. I think it's great. I can't help it. Whenever I get bored, I just throw it back up on my laptop, and I'm just like, well, at least I have a game I can play on this computer.
See, I always go for, I go for the Euro RPGs. I go for, like, Morrowind, Gothic 2, you know, like, that's the stuff I sit down and play when I'm bored on the laptop. Old school, like, completely immersive.
Baldur's Gate or something, you know?
No, not even worse, you know, like, 3D worlds with no map and no compass, you know?
Like Zork. You're a Zork player, aren't you?
It is Dirk. You will likely be eaten by a Gru.
Yeah, those Grus will get you.
Well, yeah, no, you're saying Mass Effect 3, Adam?
Yeah, it really is. I have become such a recent and passionate convert that I don't even care about the Kinect support. I'm just like, give it to me, I want it.
That was, you know? I felt so bad for him.
I mean, this ties back in. I mean, the Kinect has been a big success, I think, for kids and casual gamers. But I think, you know, Xbox isn't, Microsoft's not, they want that market because they want the money.
Yeah.
But they don't quite know what to do with it now that they have it. So it's like, hey, let's just put support in it for everything.
Well, I didn't feel as bad for the BioWare guys as I did for the poor bastard who had to demo Ghost Recon. Oh, that was just horrible. That was embarrassing to watch.
Yeah,
that was bad juju. But yeah, my game of show. I got to give it to Skyrim. I got to. I have to. I watched the they were showing. Well, I mean, they did like a 5-minute thing on G4 or on Game Trailers, one of those. And behind closed doors, they actually did a half-hour gameplay presentation. And that all got posted. I think it might have been G4 posted it up on YouTube, so you could sit down and watch the entire half-hour of the gameplay. And, man, what they're doing with this game is just unreal. It's, you know, the every single aspect of the gameplay has been analyzed and thought about and... They really have taken both the path of least resistance and the path of most satisfaction for every little option that's in that game. You know, like just the way the menus are all put together, it looks absolutely brilliant. Simple, elegant, and totally functional. Unlike, you know, Oblivion or Fallout where you're thumbing through all kinds of sub menus and stuff like that.
Adam.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. When you play these games on a PC, I don't care about that kind of stuff. When you play it on like the Xbox, and I have to thumb through and like hit like R2 right. to bring up the forget it. So
Oblivion at the time, I thought Oblivion was great because I'm an RPG veteran. I don't care about menus. It doesn't really bother me that much. But just when I see what they've done with Skyrim, and I look at it, and I just like, okay, that is cool. You know, that is really cool. How they have, you know, two independent hands. You get your left and right hand, and you can have spells equipped in each hand. You can have a sword in each hand. You can have a sword and a shield. You can mix and match to your heart's content, you know. And it looks so damn beautiful in action. It is absolutely incredible. And, I mean, it looks...
11-11, right? 11-11?
11-11-11.
There you go.
Which is horrible because it's a holiday in Canada, so I don't know what's going to happen there.
Everybody's going to be standing there for like a moment of silence and Steve's going to be like, why aren't you talking to me? Sell me a copy of this game.
Everybody's going to be at their like Remembrance Day parades with their poppies on and I'm going to be like, where's my goddamn Skyrim? I need to be a hairy Viking and slash stuff up in a video game instead of for real. Come on, let's go. No, Skyrim definitely takes it for me. Uncharted 3 is probably a close second. Like Dave, I was not... You know, I mean, I enjoyed my time with Uncharted 2. I sat down, I did the game in one sitting. Technically, two, I guess. I took a 2-hour sleep.
Yeah.
I took a 2-hour nap break and then, you know, finished the game. But there were times that I really wanted to chuck something at the screen playing Uncharted 2. There were times that the storyline just kind of took a backseat for waves after wave after wave of enemy. And
right.
The
story in the first Uncharted was far superior.
Far superior. And, you know, we're the first humans to set foot in Shambhala in 600 years, except for those 30 guys over there and those two big armored bastards with Gatling guns. You know?
And it was kind of like a boring final stage.
It was
too,
a buzzkill, you know? Is what it was.
Yeah.
Especially after that slog in the temple, man. Like, that was just such a long level. And then, okay, you got to fight another wave of 60 guys.
I mean, that game blew its wad with, like, the train chase, which was awesome.
The train chase was awesome, and the car chase towards the end of it, the truck chase towards the temple was really freaking cool. But Uncharted 3, man, like, the whole The Living Daylights reenactment where you're hanging on a cargo net behind a 747 or a C-47, you know?
I hope Naughty Dog gives you, like, a Necro skin that you can
put on. Or at least, you know, the achievement is named after... One of Bond's one-liners for The Living Daylights.
You unlocked. He got the boot.
Yeah.
So what you guys are saying is that when I'm done Mass Effect 2, I should probably crack the cellophane on Uncharted that I never opened, right?
You really should. You really should.
Uncharted 3 kind of gets its footing back.
It looks phenomenal, and what they're doing with the characters, man, like... The fact that people are making such a big deal out of the fact that Elena is wearing an engagement ring in this one, you know, I'm like, okay, cool.
Okay.
You know, like, I'm all over this game. I fell in love with those characters, and I just can't wait to spend some more time with them, you know?
That might be the geekiest thing I've ever heard. All right, nice.
This is a video game podcast, Dave.
That's true. Good point.
This is not Objection, damn it.
That's true. That's right.
We get our red meat, blood spilling.
That's true.
Manliness out in that.
I've already talked about Ninja Gaiden 3, and even though it's probably gonna be terrible, so who knows?
Before we call it an evening, I'll leave this with most eye-rolling or embarrassing moment of E3. Whichever one of you wants to go first can go first.
I'll go first. It's the exact same answer as the first question, which was the most interesting thing, which is Nintendo. I'm using it.
Organized chaos.
I'm using it for both because I have never been more uncertain about a product or service, like ever. Like I watched them talk about it, and then I watched the commercials, and then I watched it all, and I kind of was just like, huh? Like, I'm more confused now than I was when I started.
Like, for me, I would say, yeah, it is confusing, and I'm close to Adam. Like, I mean, a lot of the Kinect stuff was ridiculous, with the grown adults behaving like morons. No thanks. You know, that was sustained eye-rolling, but I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming, so I was kind of prepared for that. But to me, this is to the Nintendo thing. I mean, how lame is it to run these? It just seems so lame to run these games on PS3 360 builds. You know, doesn't that automatically kind of make you archaic going forward? That just seemed like it's just a dumb move.
Here's our brand new Wii U system. Check out all these awesome games we've got coming out. You'll have played them 8 months ago on PlayStation 3 and Xbox.
I don't understand. I mean, Steve, you want to talk about not understanding PR? I do not understand that move, you know, because obviously it's going to get out. So
yeah, and then beyond that, coming out and telling people afterwards, what the hell?
E3 this year was about each of the three companies trying to capture the other's market share. So Nintendo's saying, hey, we can do 1080, check it out. And Microsoft saying, hey, we can do motion stuff, check it out. And Sony's just like, hey, you can play with your friends, I guess, like you do on Xbox.
Hey, the network is back.
The network is back. Hooray.
Network. So there's a lot of actual sadness to go around. But to me, that was just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I got to go with Ghost Recon Future Warrior during Microsoft's press conference, man.
I did not hear as much bad as...
When I saw that poor bastard trying to try out the shooting range, and he's there, you know, opening and closing his hand to fire his rifle, and he's kind of crouched forward, rocking back and forth, I was just like, man, like, do you realize how square you look right now? And what's even worse is they showed the game, they did I think it was about a 5-minute run-through or a 6-minute run-through during the Ubisoft press conference, and the game looks awesome. You know, it's another Splinter Cell Conviction in terms of, you know, it was delayed for so long, everybody thought, and after the abysmal showing last year, the game looked like ass at E3 last year. And to see it now, and it's like, wow, this is a completely different game, it's finally coming together. I, as a big fan of Advanced Warfighter 1 and 2, I cannot wait to get this game officially, you know? But I just, when I saw it on display during this whole Kinect thing, and, you know, like, customizing the weapons and stuff. It's great that you got the weapon customization in there, but nobody is going to use that. No Ghost Recon player is going to sit down and spin their hands around the menu piecing rifles together. Like, man, I'm like Tom Cruise, yuck! You know? Like,
did you guys see what, on April Fool's this year, did you see what Google's April Fool's was?
I don't think I did. No.
They announced a fake service where, using your computer's webcam, you could compose an email basically using human semaphore. So you'd stand there and you'd like point to the ceiling and then point out and then like waggle your hands, and it was like typing on screen as you were doing it. So people were just like, ooh, yee-haw, like dictating messages using Gmail. That's nice. Kind of what watching grown men using the Kinect is like.
I have a TV remote. It works just fine. I don't have to sit there and go, Xbox, play movie. I didn't understand your command. Xbox, play movie, you know?
But you're right at it, though. I mean, you've got that works fine. People have Android phones that work fine, so why would they need a PS Vita, maybe? And people have 360s and PlayStations that work fine. Why do they need a Wii U, right?
Because the Wii doesn't do high def, and of course everybody knows high def is cool.
And everyone was dying to see Mario in high def. You gotta see Mario in high def. Let's see him.
You can see the fabric of his denim overalls in high def.
Out of everything I want to see in high def in the entire world, I would never say Mario. That is not the thing I would ever say.
Oh, absolutely not.
Nobody would say that.
Everybody went nuts when they saw the Zelda high def demo. Yeah,
and he said it wasn't even real.
It's not even like. Well, I mean, it was a tech demo, but it's not a game that is in production. You know,
it doesn't matter. It's like the Final Fantasy VII tech demo.
Exactly.
And it doesn't, even if it's not real, everybody wants it. Yeah. they want it to be real.
They've been crying about it ever since. You know, where's our Final Fantasy VII remake? Where is it? Square Enix are like, well, we're sorry, guys, but our head's too far up our assholes to listen to you.
Yeah, why would we want to give you a game you'd buy?
Yeah, really. We're too busy making sequels to Final Fantasy XIII, which unanimously sucks.
It'll be like X2. You guys like that, right?
Yeah. Didn't you love changing clothes in X2?
You know what the sad thing was? Is that I did. Oh, I love that. I like that.
End this podcast now.
You know what it was? It was like I had so much fun playing 10 that I forgave everything that was weird about X2 because I was just so happy to be back there. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Talking about rescuing people from dungeons in N7 armor and Adam talking about loving to change clothes in Final Fantasy 13.
But you don't understand.
If I
changed their clothes, it changed their abilities and their powers. It was very cool.
On that note.
Yeah, please. Let's end it there.
Guys, thanks for joining us.
Yes.
If you want to, you know, leave some feedback, not you guys. You guys are here. You can speak. I can hear you. But anyone out there listening, you know, anyone out there in the real world who happens to be listening to this hour or so of audio vomit, feel free to leave some comments. DVDverdict.com. Hit the jury room forums. We've got our own little blast processing section. You can tell us what you liked or didn't like about E3. In the meantime, be sure to tune in next week when you'll hear Dave say,
go, go, Ninja Gaiden.
We're out of here.